Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit. As you can see, Pastor Ashley is not with us this morning, but I did see her pop up online. She is caring for a little sick one this weekend, so lots of prayers for her and her family. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling this lack of extra hour. Are y'all feeling that as well? I'm just trying to figure out where I am, what time it is, what day it is. But I know after worshiping through those beautiful songs that we are here in the presence of God. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so grateful for you on this day. All that you are doing in our lives. We're grateful to have each other, to have this community of faith. And Lord, we open up our doors, we open up our hearts, we open up our minds to you this morning. Lord, remove anything that can hinder us from hearing your message to us on this day. No matter where we are worshiping, Lord God, may we feel your presence. May we abide in you. May we remember who you are in our lives, and may we trust in you, O God. You are an awesome God, and we are grateful. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen, amen. So, I know we have had this beautiful time of worship, but what hymn has stuck on my heart is how deep the Father's love for us. I love that hymn. Thank you for singing that. It's not posed as a question. Instead, it's a bold statement. In verse 3, it says, his wounds have, come on now, listen up. His wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds. Now, I know it's Lent, and we're supposed to hold off and going to the cross and not really preaching about Jesus, but I can't help but to preach about how good God has been, particularly during this COVID season. I'm going to preach about Jesus. We know it's Lent. Okay? We know we're in this season of Lent. We know what happens, right? But in this moment, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Are you okay with that? His wounds have paid my ransom. You are beautiful people of God. And yes, this is the fourth Sunday of Lent. And as we worship in the Word of God, may we remember and reflect on the questions, what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be the church of Jesus? What does it look like to go boldly where no man or woman has gone before? Trekkie right here. What does it mean? What does it mean to trust in the one who leads us and beckons us to follow? Today and all the days forward, we claim the promise, not promises, this is not plural, the promise of God. Our text message today is one of the first memorized in Sunday school, youth groups, vacation Bible school, your small groups. Whether you are new to the faith or just heard it in passing, the words, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, presents us with a bold statement and an equally complicated passage. I'm tired of these complicated passages. It indicates there is no middle ground when it comes to co-creating with God. in this vision to share the good news of God's gift of Jesus Christ. It is equally complicated because the passage alludes to that if one believes, one's present here and now is altered, adjusted, mended, improved, and amended by the gift of eternal life. If one does not believe, quite simply, one perishes. There is no middle ground. You have already heard me say this several times. It's complicated. Yet, saints, God is so good because even when things are complicated, God gives us the gift of grace and not fear, the gift of love and not hate, the gift of focus and not distraction. So today we find ourselves dynamically involved in this action-oriented dialogue between Jesus and a Jewish member of the ruling council. If you've heard this story, forgive me as we move through a recap. Remember, Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Passover, and in the middle of the night, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a Jewish leader, lovingly known by young people as Nick at Night, Nicodemus comes to speak to Jesus. We don't know why. He comes in the cover of night. Perhaps he does not want to be seen. Perhaps he wants to be with Jesus as one-on-one conversation with this man who has gone through the temple and whipped out the cows and the cattle and the sheep and the doves and the people and turned over temple tables. Perhaps he wanted him all to himself. The scriptures in the Gospel of John at the beginning of chapter 3 tells the best story, tells it much better than I ever could. So bear with me as we create a big picture and then focus on a screenshot. Chapter 3 begins, and I'm reading from the Message translation. I invite you to remember or write down words or phrases as I'm walking through with you through this passage, words that stand out. Remember, etch them on your heart. The gospel says there was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in it. Jesus said, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water, this creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes form and shape within you can't see and touch. The spirit has to come and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised, Jesus says, when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough, he goes on, how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, by the Spirit of God. Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" And Jesus said, "You're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face, and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God?" Wow. I told you the scriptures, even paraphrased, tells the story much better than I ever could. It's obvious that Nicodemus did not understand this language around being born again. So here we are, caught up at verse 14, where our text, this screenshot, begins amid a complicated dialogue. Jesus is guiding Nicodemus, and quite frankly, us as well, to focus on the things that are necessary and spiritual. Verses 1 through 21 in its entirety is the focal point leading us back to the basics of our faith. Not God liked, not God respected, not God thought about, not God pretended to like us, but God so loved the world. He gave his only son so that everyone, say everyone, who believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. See, in order to help Nicodemus along, Jesus says in verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." In order to help Nicodemus along, Jesus utilizes an example from their Jewish history and tradition. Jesus takes him back to a significant narrative in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where the imagery of the serpent, not the cunning Garden of Eden serpent, but the narrative of how the Israelites became impatient along their journey and began to speak out. It resulted in an unpleasant response from God. What else is new? And as the Israelites sought forgiveness and an end to their suffering because of their behavior, God instructs Moses to forge a symbol according to the book of Numbers. It says, "Moses made a serpent of bronze and he put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, the suffering I was talking about, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live." So Jesus has taken Nicodemus back to this narrative as he's talking about himself. See, that pole, that serpent to Nicodemus, represented and provided healing to the Israelite nation. See, today we see a similar symbol, particularly during this COVID time, etched on buildings and white coats throughout the medical field. See, Jesus is pointing the way to Nicodemus and how on the cross Jesus will represent the symbol of healing, forgiveness, and even transformation. See, the use of the serpent, the use of this symbol, the use of a destructive creature to represent healing is just what we need today. The cross, like the serpent, both destructive and intended for bad, God has intended for our good. See, the serpent sheds its skin, representing new life, emphasizing to Nicodemus and to us, if we're paying close enough attention, that the Son of Man, the human one, whether we believe it or not, is the key, is the cure to the sickness of sin, to evil, and the isms that break the heart and division of God's people in the world. All I want to do is preach about Jesus. I'm sorry, something's going on in my heart and in my soul. Because as we journey to the cross, this season, what some meant for bad, God will use for good, not our good. Do not say not my good, not our good. God will use for good. This screenshot of the serpent and the cross as the means for transformation, as the means for forgiveness, as the means for this light and this life reminds us that there is indeed a Redeemer, the human one who is the light of the world. See, when God sent Jesus into the world, God presented us with a critical decision. There is no middle ground. I was told over and over and over again as a youngster, get off the porch or get off the fence and make a decision. See, when we claim the promise of God, it does not mean we will always make the right decision. It does not mean we will always receive a favorable health report. It does not mean we will not experience emotional or depression. We will not experience pain or fatigue. It does not mean we will not grieve or mourn. It does not mean that we are perfect when we say yes to God. It means that we're willing to follow God, follow Jesus wherever he takes us, knowing that the cross is a place of forgiveness, of transformation, of healing, of repentance, of joy, of celebration, of light, and of life. It means that God, with his infinite measure of love, sent to humanity amid our human condition of sin, he sent us a gift. And in this season of Lent, this gift is whom we follow to the cross, carrying all of our baggage, carrying all of our stuff, but being willing to say yes to God and allowing God to take those burdens from us. Saints, there is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We are being called to get off the fence and make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Get off the fence and make a commitment and say yes. The serpent, meant for destruction, God has presented for our good. The cross, meant for destruction, God has given us for good. We have a Redeemer. And his Redeemer's name is what? Jesus Christ. We have a Redeemer. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And his grace is sufficient. And because his grace is sufficient, beautiful people of God, God has put us all together. Because God so loved the world. What happened? He gave his only son. So that whomever would believe in him, whomever, everyone, when they believe in him, will have eternal life. We have a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen.